Access granted.
Subject: interview with Brian Flynn from Super 7. Body: on 5/17/2022, Christopher McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80, was tasked with the mission of interviewing the awesome Brian Flynn from Super 7 about their brilliant G.I. Joe Reaction and Ultimates toy lines. Here's what we could show you from that G14 classified recording.
Access granted.
Hello and welcome to the Full Force Redacted, brought to you by GeneralsJoesReborn.com with me, Christopher McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. On the show today, I have managed to convince the awesome Brian Flynn from Super 7 to join me for a chat about the Reaction and Ultimates G.I. Joe lines. Brian, thank you so much for spending your time with me to do this. How are you doing, my good man?
It's great. I'm having a great day. There's samples all over the place. I'm looking at all the stuff that's coming out for San Diego Comic-Con, and I'm like, okay, it's done. Looks good. Okay. Make sure the boat gets here on time.
Turn the camera around. Show us all of the stuff that we're not allowed to see.
It's in that room on purpose.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Otherwise, I get tempted. Here, I'll show you. No getting tempted. No secrets.
That's amazing. Just knowing that they're in a room near you is enough for us. Trust me.
There's a lot of stuff in a room near me. This is the hardest part. This is why my Instagram has gone to crap, which is like all the stuff I want to show you doesn't come out for 6 months. So I can't show you anything.
How is the shipping scenario going for you at the moment? Is it affecting you as much as it is kind of everybody else, I guess?
It's terrible. It's terrible. I mean, unfortunately, anybody that's ever watched any interview with me will be like, he says the same thing every time. It's like, yes, pre-pandemic, you could set your watch. A boat leaving the port in Hong Kong getting to us was 28 days clockwork. And, you know, no problem. Get your stuff. Like, same thing. Like, it finishes at the end of May. I've got it at the end of June, and it's heading out the door. Like, you know, I can have stuff to people in 5-6 weeks.
Yeah,
in hand. And now, you know, it averages 75 to 90 days. We buffer 80 days into our schedule just to start, but that's getting it through the process. Then you've got to get it from the factory to the port, which is supposed to only take 2 or 3 days, but sometimes could take 2 weeks.
Yeah,
it might not get on the boat. It might not get loaded. It might come to port here. So we've had stuff where it's like, you know, I'll be done with a project, say, oh, it's done before Chinese New Year, January 31. By that time, last, you know, 2 years ago, I'd be like, March, I'll be shipping it to you. Now it could leave in January and not get to people until June or July.
Oh, that's
which is insane.
Yeah.
And so everybody's, you know, you get this thing of just like, it takes forever. All their pre-orders are taking forever. And it's like, my pre-orders are done. They're just sitting on boats. We're running into a lot of issues with that. We're running into a lot of issues with stuff going back and forth, depending on, there's a lot, we use factories in both China and Vietnam, but the border between China and Vietnam is now closed. So instead of trucking supplies, you know, whether that be molds or paper or plastic pellets from China to Vietnam can't be done. So now it has to go off to port, onto a boat, over the water, off a port. All this ridiculous
all
little
stuff that
no one wants to hear, actually, rightly so. But it just turns it from being like, oh, yeah, we can totally knock that out. Like we had something come up today where somebody was like, can you hit, you know, an October Halloween release for this, which would just be a recolor of something existing. And I'm like, yeah, no problem. Like recolor an existing thing and get it out for Halloween. And then I'm like, actually, no, I can't because of boats and material. It's like, it won't get here in time. Like it's, you know, middle of May still, and I can't deliver something for October.
Feeling as well, you've been dealing with this like firsthand today as well.
Just like, yes, this is what my day shows up with, which is like, this is me, awesome. Woo! I get to the office, here's a box, cool, all these samples. And then I open up my first meeting. It's like, this project's delayed. This project's messed up. This is like, oh, just take the body blows. Hope not, you know, yeah,
Take the hits. Get against the ropes.
I am the glass Joe, and not the glass Joe. Sorry, Glass Joe's the first guy you fight. I am
in Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
Yeah, the in the arcade game, I'm the green vector guy. In the NES game, what am I? What's his name?
I can't remember either. You put me on the spot too.
Because then you go against Glass Joe, and then it's Soda Popinski. Anyway, everybody knows what I'm talking about. Little Mac. I am Little Mac. Right,
there you go.
And I'm trying not to let Bald Bull knock me out. So, because I'm not going to make it further than Bald Bull.
Hopefully this interview won't be like Mike Tyson's Punch Out. So anyway, okay. Yeah. It's rough start. I get that totally. But
we're making stuff.
Exactly. Let's talk about the cool stuff that you guys have been doing, especially with G.I. Joe. Funny story. I was going to wear my Super 7 Cobra sweater today. This one right here, this beautiful, beautiful sweater. But it is so hot in this room.
I can't do it.
I'm
wearing the fleece because I live in San Francisco and summer is here. So that means it's down to like 60 degrees.
Beautiful.
Summer in San Francisco is very cold.
I love San Francisco, though.
It's warmer place. In the spring, warmer in the fall, colder in the summer.
I'm in Pawtucket, so yeah, just right near the Big H, just around the corner from me. Speaking of, the origins of the G.I. Joe brand.
Exactly.
G.I. Joe, let's talk about that as a brand. It's a huge history. Loads of toys, merch, media over the years, tons of characters on the roster. You actually had the Joe license prior to the Reaction and Ultimates lines, like T-shirts, the Battle Android Troopers, Super Cyborg, which was awesome, by the way. Yeah. How important, though, was it for you as a company for Super 7 to get the Joe license to produce action figures?
I think everybody's been wanting to make Joe for a long time in action figures, more so than some of the other licenses that Hasbro has. G.I. Joe is about as near and dear to their heart as you're going to get. I mean, in many ways, you can argue that that is the genesis of Hasbro as we know it through the 60s Joe.
Yeah.
Although obviously they made lots and lots and lots of other stuff. So it's probably the most precious baby they have. I don't know how else to explain it. You know, you're asking their daughter out and it's going to be tricky. So, you know, we had to wade our way into it and we had to find a way that we could do our voice within G.I. Joe in a way that they did not feel competed with anything that they want to do.
Sure.
And I don't want to say it in a weird way, like with all of these large media brands. And I say media brand because G.I. Joe does involve, you know, animation, it involves comics, it involves movies, it involves everything. So you can't simply just go, I want to make some cool stuff. They're like, everything is lined up here, there, and everywhere. There's matrix and master plans and tapestries of weaving that, you know, I don't have visibility to. So you really have to find a way that you can be complimentary and also not get in the way of what they do with the brand.
Yeah.
Like they own this, they make it. They don't need me necessarily to make G.I. Joe. They make G.I. Joe already. So how can I do something that is complementary to them, not competitive to them, if that makes any sense?
Absolutely. I mean, was that the angle to go kind of the animated route? Because obviously the kind of cartoon, even though the characters do convey from the cartoon in some way, but like it's almost like that you've got the comic, you've got the figures, you've got the cartoon. They're all kind of very specifically singular things, aren't they? They don't necessarily kind of really work together necessarily.
It's not quite as simple as that. I think more that our perspective on it was, we're really talking to the collectors. And when we approached them, we were not planning to be in Target, for example. Like you wouldn't be able to go to Mass to buy our stuff. You can only buy it at independent shops. So we're not even in the same stores as traditional G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
You know, yes, in your specialty hobby stores, yes, they carry both, but not in the same way. And we really approached it from the collector side of what are the things that I want or don't have? Because quite honestly, if I were to say to you, I'm remaking or I'm making a new version of Roadblock or Mutt, you know, you can still buy those figures. You can go to eBay right now and affordably pick up a Roadblock or a Mutt in good shape.
Yeah.
And Hasbro's obviously doing evolved versions of that level of articulation and point of view still to this day. So they don't need us there. You know, that would be competitive to them. So we really sort of came back and said, look, our point of view is not going to be for everyone. And I think that's an important point where a lot of people, especially when I, you know, get on the internet or Instagram or whatever, and you get these people and they're screaming and yelling why I didn't make it this way or that way.
Sure.
Is that I'm not trying to make the version for everyone. First off, for many collectors, you've been thinking about you, what you might want and how you would make stuff in your head for 20, 30, 40 years. So when somebody makes something and it isn't that, it's wrong.
But yeah, it's like that
you have in your head
is
very different from what the guy next to you has and what that guy next to him has and the girl next to them has. So everybody's got a different point of view on it. And we just really sort of came back and said, okay, what's our take on what G.I. Joe would be and how would that be non-competitive to what you guys have? And we're like, okay, distribution-wise, we're not going to be in the same places as you guys. We're not. That's where our business has been. Secondarily, we're going to go with 5POA like Reaction, because growing up with Star Wars figures and G.I. Joe, I love them both, but I had Star Wars figures first because I was a little bit older. G.I. Joe came later for me.
Yeah.
And for me, while G.I. Joe had great articulation, it also did this. And it drove me crazy because I wanted to stay in, you know, so there are people that love the articulation that G.I. Joe gave them. And there are people like me who are like, oh, I can't get my figure to stand up on my shelf. It drives me crazy. And those are different point of views. So we were like, we want to go down this route of what hasn't been made. And you guys haven't gone down this 5POA route.
Yeah.
And then secondarily, I want characters that I haven't had and points of view that I haven't had. The animated series was a really, really big one, but we didn't want to limit it to, for at least from the get-go, for people going, oh, they're just doing G.I. Joe the cartoon.
Yeah.
That's why in the very first wave, we still had Quinn.
The comic.
Coming out of the comic. Yeah. Now, Quinn has been made by Hasbro in a more articulated version before, but we were like, no. I want to make Quinn G.I. Joe issue 2. Like, that's the Quinn I want. And so we really just started diving into who are the characters and the style of figure that we want that can be additive to the G.I. Joe universe, not combative or replacement, if that makes any sense.
No, that makes loads of sense. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So if you're that guy that really loves, you know, the highly articulated classic G.I. Joe figure, Hasbro makes that product for you still today.
Yeah.
And you can get that from them. Yeah. I'm making another flavor of ice cream, if you will.
Absolutely. And I think that's what I like about what you guys have done with Reaction. There's so much like fun to it, and there's loads of these like deep homages. Like that's another thing as well. We'll probably talk about like the deep cuts, and so in fact we're gonna talk about it now, I guess. Yeah, we'll talk about it now. I mean, since you revealed the first wave, I think it was back in Check's notes, June of last year. That was, I mean, obviously you'd been in development for a couple of years prior to that, I imagine. I mean, you've pumped out a lot of figures in that time. And I mean, in the last couple of months, you've pumped out a lot of figures in that time. It's astonishing, by the way. But I mean, when you knew you were going to be making Joes in this format, I mean, how did you go about picking those characters? Because like I said before, you built this reputation for dropping in some crazy obscure deep cuts over the years, and you're doing it now with Joe. I mean, what are those meetings like? Or is it just you going, I'm going to have this one and this one and this one?
You know, it's not always just me saying I'm going to have this one and this one. That's where we start generally.
Yeah.
And then we all sort of, then a bunch of us get in a room and start kicking stuff around. I think, you know, there's definitely some, you know, there's some business mechanics of it all where you're like, okay, you know, got to make sure we have some, you know, got to have some Snake Eyes, got to have some Cobra Commanders, you know. But there's also like so many versions of those characters that have never been made. We're like, all right, you know, we don't need to if you want to talk about the deaths of, like, when people talk about the deaths of Masters of the Universe or the deaths of this, where you couldn't go to the store and buy a He-Man anymore, you couldn't buy a Skeletor anymore, it was like, we don't want this line to die. I realize we're talking to collectors because there's no more Snake Eyes to make. There's a million Snake Eyes to make. There's a million Cobra Commanders to make. And, you know, I want those. I'm that kind of collector that wants all the goofy little versions. And if you're not that guy, you can just grab one and be done, and it's cool. So there's a little bit of that, but a lot of it is just same thing. It's like, there's so many cool characters that just haven't been done.
Yeah.
We weren't able to go super deep right off the gate. You know, wave one was, I keep looking over here because, you know, I got Quinn.
Nice.
But it was like, okay, you know.
Well, you had Snake
Eyes. Quinn's already a deep cut.
You had Snake Eyes without the gloves, didn't you, as well? Like, you had
those kind of
versions that I thought were like, you know, it's really good. But, you know, obviously there's a Snake Eyes in there, but it's great that we've got one, like you say, that we haven't had before at this point.
Exactly. And that's where we wanted to go, was like, if it's an all black Snake Eyes, I don't necessarily need another one. That's not to say we're not going to make it and it's not great, but, you know, I have that version of Snake Eyes. What do I not have? Well, I don't have purple pouches, no gloves.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm going to go. And that's where you get into the Space Shock Troopers. The Game Master drones.
Yeah.
I'm just like, my version of this is like, how have you not made the space guy?
Come on. The shock trooper was a
mass
real
device. They're out there in space. Exactly. And they got the helmets and the
That was great. That was a shock. You know, no pun intended, by the way.
No pun intended.
That was a shock. When those came through in a good way, though, it was like amazing. Because, like, again, this is kind of what we want to see as fans. Well, certainly what I want to see as fans is those deep cuts, those things things we haven't seen before. And that's what I think you guys are doing at the moment in both lines, which is great.
I think it's probably only a deep cut because it wasn't, had they released that figure and that design when you were a kid, you would have been like, I don't know who necessarily this guy is, but he looks amazing. So I'm going to get him.
Yeah.
So it's more just, you know, for me, I'm like, I can't believe they haven't made this guy yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go, you know. And the Game Master drone is probably my favorite, but just because with the face painted on the helmet, it's just so
terrifying, cool as well, isn't it? It's like absolutely terrifying. It's like Snow Serpent, but then there's this horrible face on it. I love that.
Amazing. It's ridiculously fun.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
Absolutely. You know? And I think that's what I love most about the reaction line, is that fun aspect of it, and also like, the waves are always great as well. There's always something for kind of everybody in there. Like you say, there's the core characters are drizzled in there, but then also you'll have these like way out there amazing kind of options. I love it. Also with the release of the Arctic Rescue Mission set, because that was great as well. That was such a, again, big shock. It wasn't a shock trooper Arctic Rescue Mission set, but it was amazing. I mean, how likely are we to see kind of similar sets like those in the future? I mean, was that like, especially with like the glow in the dark features as well, like with that Snake Eyes, is it likely we'll see more of those kind of sets? Because obviously there's only been the one that's come out so far.
There's some other stuff that we're working on for sure. It's sort of that fine line, like G.I. Joe is so heavily defined by vehicles and not really by play sets.
Yes.
As much. And the vehicles have pretty well been done. You know, there's not a lot of places. There are some places, but, you know, they get to be gigantic. Like, yeah, do the Cobra ship from the original intro, you know. It would have to be, you know, the size of a flag. You know, so there's not, but there are a lot of places and locations that are really interesting that have not been tapped into. So we're definitely looking in a little bit more of that. I know people are like, okay, I'd like to see vehicles, but you know, it's been at least right now where it's been a little less obvious to like, oh, that's a vehicle that just never really got made. It seems like most of that stuff has really been tapped. And while we have identified some that have not, they're not convenient. You know, it's not like, oh, it's like, no, it would be, you know,
yeah, the size of a house,
$400 vehicle. And it's like, let's slow our roll and get some more figures out and see how people are getting in on that. But we're definitely looking at a lot of other key moments where there's some really unique locations and unique things that happen as ways to do something.
That's awesome.
Maybe at San Diego.
I was going to say, my mind's going crazy now with all the different options that could be and when they could be revealed. So thanks for that. Glow in the Dark's a big one for you guys, isn't it? I mean, that is, I don't think there is a company out there that does better glow in the dark products, honestly.
Well, thank you. But yeah, glow in the dark's one of the, I mean, that's the easy answer. And I'm not saying that negatively. I'm saying that two thumbs up. It's I like something. Yay. Make it glow in the dark. I like it again. I'm not going to argue with glow in the dark. Glow in the dark's awesome.
Think it's wicked. And obviously, that snake eyes, how did you manage to do? I mean, was there a little bit
glows
of like,
red?
Yeah. Was there a little bit of like, did you have to kind of work that out yourselves or was that something that already existed?
The reality is if you go back, we've been making toys for 20 years now, 21 years now. And we started making vinyl figures, especially, in Japan, high-end vinyl stuff around Godzilla with our own characters. And so we've been making unique vinyl stuff forever. And we've spent a lot of time back in the day doing interesting things with glow. Like we have pink figures that glow green. Amazing. We had, all sorts of stuff that you could do, especially in vinyl because of the way it, the buoyancy, the way the material rests, your additives rest in that, it really allows you to do a lot of things that you can't do in injection molding. Like I can't do a lot of ones we used to do were these really metallic vinyls that were where you basically put in aluminum shavings into it.
Wow.
Like you, and they turn into these crazy metallics. You can't do that in injection.
Yeah.
So we ended up taking a lot of the knowledge that we've done in vinyl and trying to slowly apply it into injection. Swirls are a big one that we've been trying to replicate in injection. And it's really difficult because it only really shows up if you have a flat surface because you need it to model rather than to grab a spot. And then so, we've had a limited success in sampling swirls and stuff, but that's definitely one of those things. So coming backwards to it, we knew how to make a green figure glow red, but then we were like, how do we get a blue or black figure to glow red? And you have to have a certain amount of translucency in the plastic for the material, the phosphorescent material to show through. And then if you've played with glow pigments, the brightness scale is sort of there's white, then there's yellow, then there's green, then there's blue, then there's orange, and then there's red way down. So red has a very limited phosphorescence quality on its own.
Yeah.
So we went through a lot of samples, like somewhere somebody's going, how many test shots? There are a lot of samples of trying to get it to still feel like it's blue enough to be snake eyes, as well as glow red enough to make you go, oh, wait, he's actually got radiation poisoning from the crystals.
That's incredible.
So
incredible. All I got from that though, Brian, was it's magic. That's incredible. And thanks for the extra on that, because I don't think many people were aware of how difficult that process could be for something when, like a reaction figure just glowing it, making it glow in the dark. You would just think you're pouring a certain type of plastic in there, or do you know what I mean? Interesting.
Yeah, it's a mix of blue pellets, clear pellets, white pellets, and phosphorescent powder, and then the proper balance between them to get them to do it, because you need some clear in there to have the phosphorescent come through so it's not just sitting on the surface.
Yeah.
That's what gives you more and more luminosity. You've got to have some white so that, colors have to bounce off of white to reflect. Like same thing, like it's the basis of like how a shirt, like if you ever tried to draw on something black and it doesn't show up, you have to put the white before that. So you have to have some white for the phosphorescent inside the material to bounce out of.
Wow.
And then you have to, then we've got to figure out how much blue we can get back there or gray we can get back there so we can get back looking more and more like snake eyes. That's, before there's diminishing returns.
That's far too much detail. I don't know what to do with that.
No, no, just make it in plastic. It's cool.
That's incredible. Okay, troop build. Let's talk troop builders, because those waves have been really cool. Obviously, we spoke about the shock troops, but I mean, you know, again, loads of deep cuts. You've got the snakelings from Pyramid of Darkness, which is great. I love that design. And that's, again, that's one of those ones where it's like, how have we not seen figures like that before? Like, they should exist. Yes. The shock troops, like the female combat engineers, the like huge amount of sailors you guys have done. I mean, you've covered a lot of ground.
There's a lot of sailors.
There's a lot of sailors.
Or blue shirts, however you'd like to refer to them.
Sorry, a blue shirts is absolutely
sailor.
Cool. Yeah. I can do that. Yeah. you've also introduced a lot of variants in order to kind of represent a broad spectrum of skin tones, haircuts, accessory change-ups. What was the thinking behind doing the 9 variants as opposed to maybe just like 3 with then different skin tones? Because that would have been how it would be done, I think, by most companies. But like, I like this, by the way. I'm just interested in where the idea came from.
You know, it obviously, Joe collectors are really big into army building. And we were like, we should build in an army building component to this, especially if they're characters you don't have. I don't know. Maybe some people will mix and match them with their vintage figures, maybe they will not, I don't know. But you know, the one of the first things that just sort of we talked about were like, look, Cobra or Joe, they're global organization. We'll start with Cobra. It's a global terror organization. There's no way they're only recruiting Aryans.
Yeah, true.
I mean, let's not go there with the analogies. It gets dark enough sometimes with Cobra where you're like, you know, this is getting a little on the nose here.
On the nose, definitely.
Yeah, we want to pull back a little bit. And so that was sort of the first thing where it was just like, you know, where's the obvious people in the army? And you would have all aspects of it. So, you know, that was the first thing is like, let's make army builders and skin tones. So one, two, if you have them out on your shelf, they look different.
Yeah.
And then secondarily, it was, you know, whether it was weapons or other things, you know, like with, same thing when we were making the blue shirts, you know, you can anytime, you know, in those early episodes where they're on the boat and you hit pause, it's like, this guy's clean shaven. This guy's got a mustache. This guy's got a beard. You're like, well, which one are we making? I was like, we can make them all.
All of them. Yeah.
And instead of being like, it's this giant, overwhelming, difficult thing, the way I tried to frame it up is if we're using simple math and say I made 1,000 Snake Eyes and 1,000 Cobra Commanders, I'm going to make 1,000 of the army builder.
Right.
And you can pick which version you want, which skin tone or which facial feature. And if you're a guy that wants more, then you can have some variety.
Yeah.
But I'm only going to make 1,000 of the army builder too. But I'm just breaking it up into tiny little pieces. So I'm slicing that one apart into 9 or 6, depending, you know, sometimes little.
Sometimes 3 with the shock troopers as well.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You know, that's it. So it's still not made. It's not like we're making so many weird variants. It's like, no, we made this soldier. And within that soldier, if you're that guy, there's variants. But if you're not, you can just grab one and be done and it's fine.
Also, I've been kind of saying, you know, a lot of people kind of mention that on kind of, we do like live streams and we'll get kind of interactivity through that. And when we're talking about Super 7, we're talking about Troop Builder specifically, a lot of people do kind of say like, oh, it's just a lot of figures to kind of get. And I kind of think, well, if you are army building and you would be in like, in, you know, in a normal situation, if only one of those figures existed in a pack out, say in like a case out, loadout, whatever, you would spend ages trying to like build your army. In this sense, you could just get a wave of figures and your army is built. Do you know what I mean? Like done and dusted.
Yeah. And I don't want people to feel like if I want to collect the whole set, I have to get all 9 army builders. That is exactly the opposite of what I'm trying to do. It's we made this army builder, just grab one. If you grab one, you can check it off the checklist. But if you are building the diorama, you can have some variants. And you are lining them up, you can have some variants. But
it's options, isn't it? I guess it's just giving people a lot of options.
You know, and that's the thing. They are oftentimes the more generic character. So how do we give them just, you know, a little bit more room? I don't know. I'm trying to think of the right answer, but it's just, you know, while Snake Eyes has variants, they're unique to him. Like the core, you know, it's not like you're going to be like, it's Snake Eyes with sunglasses. It's like, well, you know, unless he's wearing his Boy George costume. I don't wear he doesn't wear the glasses.
I tell you now, Brian, I'm so waiting for the Satins band lineup. I know you can't say anything, obviously.
I can't say anything.
I know you can't, but I'm just gonna say it right now. I can't wait for that set. It's got to happen. I'm just putting it out there into the ether. That has to happen at some point.
And then Timber's on his back leg.
Exactly. You see? I didn't even have to say much, and it's already falling out of you. Yeah. Only kidding. I will also say that there are a few things I think that people assume are going to happen with Super 7, just because of, like, your guys' track record with other figures and other lines, and also seeing what you've done already with G.I. Joe. And I think everyone just expects certain things, like Satin's band, like that kind of... How do you, like, balance those kind of expectations? Because you must see that kind of chat coming through constantly online.
Yeah, that chat's really not that different than the conversations we're having internally. True. We just got to have them, a year ago. We're like, what about this? What about this?
Yeah.
The tricky part with things like the PSA, which I still can't believe we were allowed to do.
Oh my God, amazing. Sorry, carry on.
Is just more that, there's a fine line between that's awesome and a fine line between that's a really funny JPEG.
Exactly.
The conversation we always have is like, is that $18 funny or is that text it to your friend funny? And that is a real litmus test. And it is a fine, fine line.
That is amazing. Can I just say as well that PSA, because it's not in the, I haven't put it in the questions, unfortunately, but it's definitely something I wanted to talk to you about quickly. I love it. I think it's a brilliant idea, first and foremost. Are we likely to see that happen in the future again? Because obviously there are more than just the two PSAs.
No, I think we're gonna run our course on PSAs. Everybody's just like, pork chop sandwiches. And I'm just like, if we went with barbecue and pork chop sandwiches, then it's like, what the fuck are you kids doing in here? I'm like, what? They get a little, we're still trying to be friendly a little bit here.
Yeah.
Yeah,
body massage and I'm a computer are absolutely fantastic though to do. So
where we're like, I can't believe they said yes, and no one is going to believe that this is real. And that was, quite honestly, everybody was just like, oh, this was really funny, guys. Great April Fool's joke. We're like, it's real. It's on the site. You can buy it. They're like,
I had to.
And you're not going to fool me with that one.
There are so many comments when I reposted it. I'm like, guys, this is legit. This is not an April Fool's joke. This is legitimately something you can go in and order. If this was an April Fool's joke, and they're going the long way around by making you order it and then canceling that order later on, that isn't a good business practice. This is legit. That was so funny though. I love that. That day was great.
Well, it was really interesting too, because obviously we come from skateboarding and everything else like that, and so you start with that where you're like, oh, we're in on the joke, and then we're talking about the PSAs, and we're like, within skateboarding over the last, I would say, really, it's come over the last 5 years, but even it's been a part, but like women's skateboarding is now a full blown thing amongst itself. It doesn't even really have to exist with men's skateboarding. It is its own thing. And the fact that there was a real PSA, which was about not being mean to girls skateboarding, she's rad, dude, kind of thing, where it's like, we kind of have to make something with this. And then we were having these long discussions about, like, we're going to make this board as a tribute to the PSA around this, but the other PSA stuff we're making is a joke, but this isn't really a joke. This is kind of a cool thing. Like, how do you keep those messages even, but not make it seem like we're making fun of girl skateboarders? And you're like, all right. And same thing. It was like, we want to make it with a real skateboard company, not just some, slapped on a piece of wood. So we made it with Strangelove. But that was another thing. It was just like, there's so many cool little things hiding in here that intersect, may not have even intersected with our lives now, but do now that we're older. And we're like, all right, cool. We're going to bring this part in too.
It was great. The board looks gorgeous as well. I love how you've got on one side, you've got the design that the kids are riding in the actual PSA. And on the other side, you've got the gung-ho deco, like the camo with the quote on it and the tattoo. Absolutely superb. Really, really cool, man. Like, I mean, you guys produce a lot of awesome stuff, I have to say. I'm not just saying that because you're on the show. I kind of am saying that.
That I can already read the comments, you know. Great, he comes on the show and all of a sudden you love everything.
Oh, great, Chris. You're a big fanboy of Super 7 now, just because you got a sweater. Get off my lawn. Give him the stick. Hey, anyway.
You don't diss a good sweater.
Exactly, and this is gorgeous. And I've got the G.I. Joe one, there's all the camo one, and I do often wear them on streams, but I was doing that in the winter time, and now it is too hot for that. But moving on, though, I actually want to talk about this as well quickly. The artwork has been absolutely gorgeous on the card backs. I know Jason Edmiston has done a lot of that. Our very own Adam Riches, who obviously is on, he's a Full Force co-host every now and again. He's worked on the Arctic Rescue Mission set as well. Was that something you wanted to do from the start to kind of differentiate from what Hasbro kind of do? Or were you kind of instructed to do your own artwork?
No. You know, we actually had a lot of conversations in the beginning of, would it be too much if we used, you know, the explosion, the burst and paintings, because we're not doing traditional O-ring. If we do that sort of level of packaging and we put our 3¾, are people going to be pissed or not? Or they think, you know. And it was funny because like we actually sort of talked ourselves out of it and then had to come all the way back around to it where we're like, it just doesn't feel like G.I. Joe. And, you know, for us with this, we've always, we always do paintings on the card backs and stuff like that. You know, the packaging is just as important as the product in a lot of ways. Mm. And there's an emotional resonance there. So we really wanted to do paintings and we didn't want to use the old ones. The old ones are amazing, but
absolutely,
those are for that old product. If we're making a new product, we should be making new paintings. And so
also definitely makes sense now, looking at it now, if you look at the line and you look at like, you know, retro product and all that kind of stuff, it makes sense to have your own kind of identity on that, I think, for Super 7. And the artwork is absolutely gorgeous as well. Some absolute beauties on there.
Yeah, I can't take him a lot of credit for that. I mean, I just say, hey, Jason, you want to make a drawing of this guy? All right, you know. But, you know, Jason says that was one of the things that inspired him as a kid to start drawing was his G.I. Joe card back. So he was like, this is full circle for me. And we're like, great.
That was amazing, wasn't it? I mean, I do, we speak to Adam a lot on the show as well. And obviously he loves being involved in doing that kind of work as well in a similar way. Like he was such a fan as a kid and then gets to do this artwork for all these companies and everything. And it's just, so I know kind of almost firsthand what it means to these artists, you know what I mean? Like to kind of get that involvement at this kind of level, which is just awesome. But beautiful artwork. Thank you so much for that. Bravo as well on managing to sneak by us two figures that were complete secret somehow in the Blue Indian Fun School homage Secret Service Snake Eyes Target exclusive. My goodness, that's a mouthful. And the very recent Red Ninja. They both made it to shelves to the surprise of everybody. Was that a way to kind of give collectors that nostalgic buzz of not having the internet back in the day to tell us everything? Because that's what it felt like to a lot of us, I think.
A little bit. I mean, the other thing is that you ship to Target's DC and they'll be like, here's the on shelf date. And like 3 weeks before the on shelf date, you're like, I found this at my local Target. And you're like,
goodness, you did? Sake. I know. Yeah. That must drive you guys nuts.
Oh. It just sort of is. It doesn't really drive me nuts. It's just like, oh, okay, that happened.
Muggins over here is reporting it and making it further and more widespread.
Well, I have no problem with that.
Good, I'm glad.
It's the same thing of like trying to have fun and make something cool. In the case of both Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow, they're iconic characters that people love. And if you want to talk about, you want to talk about the Fun School one, you want to talk about any of the stuff from Argentina, whether it's Cobra Mortal or Ninja Ku or Ninja Satan or whoever, collectors may know who they are, but the chance most of everybody doesn't own them.
Yeah.
Or they might own one, you know, it depends, you know, they're expensive figures.
Yes.
So if you're a regular, if you're a collector and you don't have one, now you can pick one up for $18. That's pretty cool. And if you're a more casual collector, it's still a really cool Storm Shadow variation.
Yeah,
it's totally still a really cool Snake Eyes variation. So, you know, it wasn't so much that we were trying to sneak things by people, but there is definitely a thing of like, there's a lot of really cool stuff out there that as a collector, you don't always get to get. Like, you know, and that is more overt, especially with Joe, than you get with something like, if you're talking about Star Wars, it's like, oh, I don't have a red bar R5-D4. Right. Well, if I make that paint variant and hang it on a shelf, it doesn't, most people can't even tell me what's different about it. Where these figures are like, whoa, that doesn't, like, what, you know, same thing. Why is Snake Eyes that color? It doesn't make any sense. Or why is Storm Shadow that color? Like, I know it's Storm Shadow, but that color makes no sense.
And why wasn't it leaked on the internet months ago? That kind of thing.
Oh, why wasn't it leaked on the internet months ago? I have a rock solid vice on everything. No. I don't know. Probably because it didn't hit a warehouse early enough to get leaked on the internet.
Yeah, yeah.
But
it's still amazing you managed to do that, though, especially in this day and age where I feel like everything just gets kind of not spoiled necessarily. Well, spoiled in some cases, but like a little bit throws a spanner in the works for some of the official reveals, should we say.
Yeah, I mean, it's that same thing where I'm not trying to keep secrets, but sure. At the same time, I want it to be fun. I want you to be surprised. It's like you wake up and it's like a present. Like, oh, I didn't know they were making that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I can go. It's something for me to look at. And it's not like, oh my God, it already sold out. What am I going to do? You know, yeah. It's like, oh, I woke up, found out that this thing happened and it's already sold out 15 minutes after it went live. Like, that's no fun either.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. Well, that's reaction. Move on quickly to Ultimates, because obviously, again, this is what I've really been wanting to talk to you about, because this is where Super 7 shines when it comes to kind of the deep cuts and the really fun nods to the various media that these characters have appeared in, especially in, like, you know, the accessories that you guys throw in there. And obviously, you know, like, you've got Doc's comic from the cartoon, which is a lovely addition, by the way. Storm Shadow coming with that glow-in-the-dark Excalibur sword and that kind of underwater breather variant head as well. Absolutely genius additions. How much fun, first of all, is it picking out accessories for these figures? Because that must be great, just kind of trawling through the cartoons and just going, that. I mean, is it a lot of that, or is a lot of it kind of from, like, memory? I mean, where does that kind of, how does that happen?
I think it's 50-50 at this point. I think we've all gone back recently and rewatched a lot of everything. In that,
every, you know, couple of days.
The difference is, as we rewatch it now, it's like we're pausing every 10 seconds.
Oh, that's the scarlet bit.
I mean, trust me, there's so much of that. I'm like, okay, if you take the coloring books, like Scarlet's in a purple jumpsuit. If you take the read-along book, she's in this, you know, there's a lot.
Can I ask a quick question regarding both lines? This is one of those ones that's popped up into my head as you've mentioned that. Is everything on the table for you guys? I mean, are we talking, like, could we see things? I mean, not saying that we will see things, but are you able to, say, maybe recreate, there's a sticker set that exists in G.I. Joe that maybe you could do, like, a weird deco choice there. The commercials they aired, like, even though some of the characters weren't necessarily in the cartoon or in the, well, there were comic Tiger Force, for example, but there was an animated Tiger Force commercial. Are those things on the table for you guys with these lines?
Theoretically, you know, Hasbro's been a really great partner with us on this line, and, you know, they're pretty open to our point of view.
Yeah.
And being that, you know, we say, this is what we want to do, and here's the roadmap we want to get there. And then they're like, oh, okay, that makes sense for how you guys are doing it. Or, no, this is a problem, or this is a problem. Sure. And then, but for the most part, they've been pretty good about letting us do our thing. They're sort of like, we're doing this thing over here and you guys are doing your thing, and it's good. You know, in that, which maybe be, you know, spoilers or whatever, but, like, you know, coming up, We've got a whole G.I. Joe event happening at San Diego. So we'll be talking about that soon. So there'll be a whole G.I. Joe thing at San Diego Comic-Con. So similar, if anybody was aware of what we did with Masters of the Universe or what we've done with Peanuts or Universal Monsters, we're going to do something along that same lines with G.I. Joe, this San Diego. So
brilliant. Sorry to, I completely derailed you as well before, yes. But we were talking about those amazing accessories and the process.
Yeah, I think the hardest part, quite honestly, is that there's probably more accessories than we can afford to include. And it's
true.
And then quite honestly, we're having, I'm going to say this and then people are going to get grumpy, but it's like, we're having an even harder time for like what I planned a year ago and what I could afford a year ago versus what I can afford to make in China this year is radically different. So then, you have to sit there and take a long look. How many different pieces do you have? How many different molds are we making? How many different deco hits do we have? We didn't have to worry about that as much a year ago. So we've got some figures where you're just like, it comes with 743 accessories, plus there's a figure, where we're having to be more cognizant. But there, with a lot of these characters, there's no end to the accessories that you could choose to use. And I think that's the fun part.
It's
usually an issue of us kind of whittling it down a bit, going, here's the 50 things we could include. What's realistic?
I mean, like Scarlet's crossbow bolts, Lady J's spears. I mean, amount of different options you've got there is ridiculous. I'm really happy with what you guys went with the kind of like the rope one for Scarlet and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, there's some really good ones in there. What I've been doing, actually, this is what I love about your reveals more than anything. When you reveal the Ultimate waves, the three that you've done so far, absolutely astonishing, by the way. The fun I get is going through every single accessory and going, okay, what's that from? And then
I know these eight, but these two.
Yeah, what's this?
I don't know what this is going in here for.
I did call that when you revealed Storm Shadow with the tattoo kind of on show, the kind of the teaser. Yeah. Myself and Pat did a weekly show and we were chatting away and I'm like, oh, you know what? I bet it comes with Excalibur. I bet that Storm Shadow is going to come with Excalibur because that is such a famous, it's in the outro of the cartoon. There's a lot that episode's really, like, people remember it. I wasn't expecting the variant head and I wasn't expecting it to be glow in the bloody dark. That is amazing. Cool.
Anything you can make glow in the, once again, we've had this discussion already. If we can make it glow in the dark, I'll make it glow in the dark.
Double thumbs up. I love it.
I can, it doesn't come across that often, especially in G.I. Joe, but if I can throw glitter in it, that also works. But,
That's amazing. That is amazing. Yeah, they're really great figures. Love the Ultimates, my man.
I do have this guy, if you want to see him.
Is this a world exclusive, Brian?
Maybe, I don't know. He looks just like the renders.
My God. Goodness.
There you go.
Oh my goodness, that is gorgeous.
Back in here.
Your packaging as well. I mean, that's stunning.
These things are about to be on a boat. They were supposed to already be on a boat. They haven't been on a boat yet. But
the Bat Boat. Oh my, I can't believe we're getting a whole review. It's a review video now.
Yeah. I don't have any of the others here. They're all at the advanced warehouse.
But, mate, that is gorgeous. Yeah. That is gorgeous. I'm full screening.
I'm having to turn him around so I can be like, how does he look? Like, I just took him out of the plastic, his arms and, But that
is beautiful.
The Bat, Battle Android Trooper.
Absolutely gorgeous. I love that. That is sensational. I love the red visor as well, like the animated faceplate. That's so good. It looks a lot thicker. I like that. The effect looks thicker than the original renders.
It's not that thick. Maybe it's coming across as
it looks great. I love it. I think it's really good. That's beautiful. Oh my, my word.
If you want to destroy your bat figure, he's been shot, battle damaged.
We've got a bat to show you. That's fantastic. Okay.
Well, and then, you'll see, I don't know if you can see the metallic, with the abrasions on it. It's a cool metallic with
I don't think I was aware of that. I don't think that's the first time I've actually seen that effect on that box. Because I mean, like before, I thought it was going to be a matte finish.
No. It's sort of this metallic paper with then it's got this camo pattern behind it for Cobra, and then an embossed logo.
So that's going to be for all the Cobra characters. They'll get that kind of styling, won't they?
And there's a green version for the Joes.
Brilliant. Absolutely. Thank you so much for showing that off.
Awesome. You know, that's I'll what it's for, isn't it?
I'll send the video to be approved and you'll be like, you'll be like, you're going to have to cut that.
Yeah, no.
You only get 14 seconds.
The problem is that in this, it's going to be, somebody's going to screenshot it and then they're going to look at where my hand is and they're going to be like, this is wrong. And it's like, no, it's on a camera on a laptop through a video streamer to another guy.
I think it looks amazing. I think it looks gorgeous. Yeah,
that turned out great.
Are you happy with that? I was going to say, are you happy with the way that turned out? Because it looked fantastic.
This line's awesome. I'm not saying that because I made it. I'm saying it because it's awesome.
I can't wait for Flint. Flint's my favorite. I can't wait for that figure.
I don't have, because like everything's over with the people that work here. This is a test of Flint. It's an older one, but
there's that's Flint. Duke, right?
Sorry, you're right. What am I saying? You're right. This is Wave One Duke. Somebody already is, he doesn't know anything about G.I. Joe. You're correct. This is Duke. But awesome. I don't have his production piece here.
That looks wicked, though.
Well, test shots always look great.
I love all the different plastic colors. They're fantastic. I love the ones that are like, you know, ridiculous color, like teal and blue and green.
Yeah. And the reason for most of this is like, same thing. Like all of this, everything in this color comes out of one tool.
Yes.
This comes out of a different tool.
Yeah.
This comes up, and then these are actually painted. So I can't tell what tool they came out of.
That's really cool to know that. That's great. Thank you.
But that's why the different colors are there. So you know which molds are, every mold is a different color.
Does that help with like the logistical nightmare of trying to work out, you know, all of the tooling and then future reuse and things like that?
Yes. There's not a lot of future reuse with us on this stuff.
I was going to say there's a lot. It's all very unique, isn't it?
At a certain point, yeah, it's just like just sculpt new shoulders. Like
just glow in the dark. Just do glow in the dark.
There you go.
Glow in the dark, Duke.
Done.
Glow in the Duke, you can call it.
Ooh, I don't want to see anybody's glow dookie.
That's a good point. I'm sorry. Yeah. You probably can't say anything, but I'm on a roll at the moment. So yeah. Are there any plans, or have you guys maybe thought about doing anything for the 1987 animated movie, like specific characters? I'm talking Ultimates. I'm also talking Reaction. I mean, is that something you've thought about?
I would say that we have all sorts of plans. But I mean, the reality is when we put this together with Hasbro, we gave them a 5-year plan.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
We have lots and lots of plans. There's animated series stuff. There's comic stuff. There's movie stuff. There's all sorts of stuff. There's stuff with some stuff and some stuff on the side. Like, you know, and while there are obviously a lot of things where you're like, oh yeah, that makes sense. There's going to be a lot of stuff where you're like, oh, hadn't thought about that.
That's what I'm excited about, because you guys always seem to do that. You always pull something out where it's like, we did not consider that was even something they would even think about, let alone.
I will tell you right now, though, because it gets brought up a lot, I am not making Baroness in a bikini from the Game Master episode.
Okay, good. So there you go, guys. That is definitive.
Definitive. We are not making Baroness in the bikini.
It ain't happening. Right. Okay. Well, one other thing then, that considering this amazing role that we're on, Ultimates vehicles. Now, obviously, you've done some incredible stuff in your other lines.
Yes.
And I know we kind of touched on vehicles a little while ago, but you know, the Thunder Tank. I'm going to throw out there, which is ridiculous, but unreal and ridiculous. The Party Wagon. I'm a huge Turtles fan. I'm a huge everything fan, like Turtles, Thundercats, He-Man. It's everything you guys do, I'm a fan of it, basically. But G.I. Joe, what's the likelihood? Is it there? Is it a possibility? That's all I need to know.
It's definitely a possibility. I think, you know, with with vehicles and things like that, I tend to be very, very, the product we make is already expensive. And then when you get into vehicles, it's like stupid.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, and I say this and no one ever believes me because this isn't what they do, but it's like, while I realize that you and most of the people you interact with love this stuff, it is still, there's still not that many people buying this stuff.
Sure.
And I say that when people are like, are you kidding? You know, I know. And it's like, okay, when you go to the office next week, how many people at your office have any of this stuff or even remember this stuff? So the reality is the numbers that you sell of these things are not what people believe that they are.
Sure, sure.
So when you start talking about getting into large scale plastic items, especially with a lot of tooling,
yeah,
it gets very expensive. And how you get away with that is amortizing that cost over units. And anybody that collects action figures knows there are, for every 10 guys that buy action figures, there's one guy that buys vehicles.
Yeah.
And I think all of you can talk about the fact that, you know, vintage G.I. Joe collectors that at one point was like, I don't have room for all this shit, and got rid of all their vehicles.
Yeah.
So when you get into vehicles, it is a very, very narrow Venn diagram of people that actually will buy them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so the prices tend to be a bit prohibitive. So in doing so, I'm not going to make a bunch of vehicles until I sell the vehicles I have. So in a case like this, I have both a Thundercats vehicle out there, and I have a Turtles vehicle out there. I'm not going to make another vehicle for sale until I deliver the Thundercats vehicle.
Sure, sure.
Once I deliver the Thundercats vehicle, then I can start considering what the next vehicle or playset or whatever may be. But
you've also got multiple brands as well, haven't you? You're also working on lots of different brands, and there's got to be that consideration.
You know, and you have to be respectful of the people that you're selling the toys to. Like, sure. There's only so much money I can expect someone to spend with me, because I'm not the only thing they collect. And if I make it too difficult, too cost prohibitive, or too hard to collect the line,
yeah,
they're not going to.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to have to pay, you know, double, triple retail in the secondary market. Lord knows, even for the toys that we've already made, where people are like, oh, that thing's $85. Can you remake it? I'm like, I can't remake it so you can save $40. Like, but, you know, when something starts hitting $200 or $300, you can't get somebody new to collect the line. Yeah. Oh, I wasn't in on it when it was beginning. I couldn't afford it, or I didn't do this. I wasn't sure if I liked it. I wasn't sure if I liked what you guys were doing. And if all of a sudden it's too expensive to collect, well, now that's no fun anymore. And my job isn't to make things difficult. It's not, sure. My job isn't to make it hard for you to buy toys. My job is to make it as easy to buy toys as you can, which is why we have open pre-order windows and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, there's a hard reality that most people don't like to talk about, where it's like, look, I'm the guy making it, and I'm telling you there's not that many of you as you think there are. And that's why these things are more expensive. And, you know, that message doesn't go as far as it can.
It should, yeah.
I don't think people believe me.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, he's trying to make a buck. I'm like,
this is the thing, though. I think, like, people that aren't in the industry, you know, like, I've got very good friends at Boss Fight Studio.
They make great toys. They're nice people.
Absolutely. Well, they're all right. No, they're good. They're great. And, like, you know, being in and around them, you know, most of the time, and just like hearing the things they have to do and knowing the kind of ins and outs of their business practices, having good, you know, connections with Hasbro and speaking to them on a regular basis. You know, you've got like this multi-billion dollar corporation over here, but then you've got like this smaller team at Boss Fight. The kind of challenges are still the same. It's really weird. And like, again, like the people people are selling the product to, like, you start to see those kind of numbers. I think if you're not in and around that conversation a lot of the time, you're just hearsay. What are the rumors are going around. You know, there's no real, like, and people won't believe it because they've heard other people from multiple different places, even if they've got nothing to do with the toy industry, saying these things over and over again. And it just becomes their factual, their fact, I guess. Right. And it's just not the case. So I totally understand the situation that, you know, you guys are going through with that.
Yeah. And so coming back to your question about vehicles is, you know, hopefully we get there one day. It's not right around the corner. Because quite honestly, we don't even have wave one of these yet. Yeah. So if I were to put together, you know, a his tank or something now, I mean, people would just be like, dude, I don't even have a figure in hand. Like, I need to have a couple waves of these in hand before I will even consider something like that.
Sure.
Which is completely justified.
Absolutely reasonable, totally. But we all hate you for it, and we want that vehicle tomorrow, please.
Yeah, let me actually get. Can I actually mail you some of these first so that you can?
Yeah, 100%. Mail that to me now. And no, I didn't think that was going to happen. And the Duke,
never going to happen.
The Duke test shot as well, and all the stuff in that other room that you were talking about for San Diego.
Yeah, wave four reaction done on card, sitting in the other room.
I can't wait. I can't wait. Amazing. Okay. Well, so far we've had, this is it. A couple more questions and I'll let you go. Sorry.
That's right.
So far we've seen some real heavy hitters in the three revealed waves of Ultimates. The reaction line allows obviously more figures to be done at a time, and therefore more quirky and left field characters can be introduced. Do you feel that with the Ultimates, you kind of have to stay fairly close to that core group, or at least with the more iconic? Are we likely to see rather far out choices in the Ultimates line given time, or is it in a similar, we talking kind of similar things that we did with the vehicle stuff?
No, I think you'll see some more stuff with us branching out a bit more. I think it's just, it's one of those things, like as you get started, like how are you not going to make Snake Eyes and Cobra Commander and Destro? You know, we tried to make wave two very much sort of like a couples party. So you had, you know, Flint and Lady J with Destro and Baroness. It was like, you know, it's a double date. You know, maybe they'll get along well, maybe they won't, don't know. You know, but even then, you can argue that, you know, is Doc, you know, a surprise or not a surprise to happen that early? I think
Doc's
early?
Been definitely the most, like, he's not obviously of the core necessarily, but he was quite iconic in the cartoon. But at the same time, he wasn't in that many episodes. So I think, yeah, Doc is a good one so far in the kind of quirkier kind of side.
Yeah,
of
just a little bit like, oh, they got to him earlier than I thought they would have.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but I do definitely think that there's some stuff coming up where like, oh, okay, that's a deeper cut. Didn't expect that, you know. Being that we're only 12 figures in, you know, where reaction is, you know,
38,000 figures, 30
something, you know,
it's like 70 something, I think, the isn't it?
Well, I once again, I'm counting all those army builders as one SKU.
Okay,
I'm not going there. So, you know, it's 24, 26, 28, maybe. At that point,
that's a good amount, you know, of figures.
So we've had a little bit more room to get in. Like if you think one wave of reaction is the same as two waves of Ultimates, and we're already three waves in, you know, we've got a lot more room already to get into some nooks and crannies. And it's a little easier at that scale, you know, to take a chance.
Yeah.
But there's definitely some more fun stuff coming for sure.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. And finally, my last question, what has been like your favorite kind of figures so far that you guys have revealed? I mean, what are the ones that kind of stand out the most to you?
Game Master Drone, hands down, is my favorite. Before that, it was the Shock Trooper.
Yeah.
I like the fact that if you look at the army builders, you know, we were looking at the Shock Troopers and we were able to make the Cobra Officer Shock Trooper. So he's the one with the blue.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like new history, if you will.
Yeah.
Because that you can't really tell in space. And we're like, how do you do this? And I'm like, well, any other Cobra army guy, you have the regular version, then you have the officer. So we sort of pitch back to Hasbro, like, okay, here's the regular space trooper, but who's the officer up there? Like, there's got to be an officer. So he would be in blue instead of green. And they're like, yeah, sounds completely legit. You know, let's do that. So that was pretty cool because it kind of didn't exist, but you could argue that it very, you know, it has a place and has a reason to exist. So it's cool that we're getting to sort of carve out a little bit of lanes of places that, you know, people haven't done before. I think more than anything, it's just, and this is going to sound weird, but, you know, there's a lot of years that G.I. Joe has been made. And the fact that somehow over the last however many years, I've found myself in the place where I get to be the guy that chooses what gets to be made. That's the part where I'm enjoying the most. It's not even so much, you know, which figure is it, this wave or that wave. It's just like, I can't believe we get to be those guys.
You're the Cobra Commander at the moment then.
That's not going to go over well for me then, because that means I'm going to lose at every juncture. I'll have a nice cape, but there you go.
He's wearing his cape on that show.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Well, Brian, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you, mate. Thank you so much for jumping on and talking with me. I know, obviously, your time is precious, so I really appreciate you taking an hour. I mean, that's just incredible. So thank you so much.
Look, I can talk about toys anytime to anyone, and there's somebody else be like, oh God, please stop. This is the way it is at Toy Fair and Comic Con. They're like, you have to quit talking to this person and talk to this person. I'm like, well, but we're still talking about toys. And like, we're not done here. I'm a living run-on sentence. Let's go.
Okay, well, tomorrow then we'll be doing the second part of this. No, I'm kidding. Like I said, if you are up for that, then I mean, I'd love to have you back on, like, next time anything's revealed
anytime. Or
anything like that. Would that be cool? Anytime. That'd be cool? Brilliant. Yeah. Thank you so much. Because I think what my plan originally was to kind of, you know, jump on when the first wave came out and talk about that, and then like when the next wave of reaction and so on and so forth. So it's been nice to have this kind of like all-encompassing chat about all of the stuff that's kind of come so far. So I really appreciate all of that. Thank you so much. Well, that brings us to the end of the interview. Thank you for coming on. I've said it before, but I love what you guys are doing with G.I. Joe at Super 7. Honestly, cannot wait to see what you guys have coming up in the future, especially for San Diego Comic Con. That sounds insane. I can't
San Diego Comic Con. It's going to be, can't say more about it yet, but we're going to have a big old party at San Diego all about G.I. Joe. So come on down and hang out with us.
Oh my goodness. I don't know what to do with myself. Anyway, that's it for this installment of the
Just Buy a plane ticket. That's what you do.
That's what I've got to do. Sold. I'm there. Yeah. But you're putting me up. I'm just kidding. That's it for this installment of the
Now Force all of a sudden the deal breaker happens. This was all fine and good till we had to share a room.
So you had to buy me a hotel room for the 6 weeks that I'll be spending in San Francisco. Or just put a mattress in that room next to yours.
In here?
Yeah, done. And I'll just look at... I won't be able to sleep because everything will just be glowing.
Yeah. It's true.
Thank you to my wonderful guest, Brian Flynn. See you next time. And as always... Oh, by the way, at the end of these episodes, we shout Full Force, which was the hobbled... G.I. Joe UK Action Force Battle Cry. So are you good to do that, Brian?
Sure.
Okay, after three, one.
Do I have to yell Palatoy first?
Yes. In fact, you're going to have to do Palatoy Full Force is what you're going to have to yell. After three, one, two, three.
Palatoy Full Force.
Amazing.
Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing and commenting on these videos, and as always you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page facebook.com/TheFullForce, and if you would like to contact the show you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback and questions. We also have a Patreon page, so if you want to show your support for the show, see your name up in lights on these videos, or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/TheFullForcePodcast or click on the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force.
Access granted.